Hello there. Welcome into this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. For the 30th day of October 2020, the day before Halloween. And I hope you have great Halloween plans for this weekend. Just to unplug and ignore and wipe your brain and enjoy some good times with family and friends, if you can. And Gladys Kravitz doesn't live down the block from you and is reporting every action you make to the police. Welcome to the world we live in today. I just had a Bewitched flashback. I don't know if you noticed that, but I mean, we really do live in those times now when you have to wonder who's going to rat you out just for living your life. Yeah, it's just crazy time. It's just crazy time. I got to refer you. Please go to the podcast's Facebook page, the Daily Perspective Podcast on Facebook, and take a look at the video I just dropped there a few minutes ago. An old friend of mine, we used to work together for the same radio group years ago. His name is Mark Harvard. He stays busy. He's got a creative company. He's a creative or the communications director for a local church. He's got, I think he's still doing this weekly radio show that, if I recall correctly, is heard in the UK. He's not British, but he's got this radio show. He does. It's online, and he's a busy guy, and he's got a cute little kid, and they did something great for him for Halloween because he could dress up and go to school as his favorite character for Halloween. And he, being the creative guy that he is, pulled out the phone and shot video of going to the car, and they did something very special just for the little one, because he got to dress up as his favorite character for Halloween. It's good. Go look at it. I'll wait here. No, go ahead. Go look at it. It's great stuff. It's the last day of the week, the last day before Halloween. We have one more working day before Election Day. There's a lot to be considered, a lot to think about, a lot to go over. And I think we're going to touch on a handful of things today. Not a lot, but we're going to touch on a few things today. We're going to revisit Tucker Carlson and his lost documents. We talked about that for a bit yesterday. He updated us on that yesterday. We're going to talk a bit more about how the media is ignoring the story that Tucker Carlson is talking about. And it is arguably the biggest story of this decade. And at least so of the past decade, of the past 10 years. It's just gigantic. And the media is ignoring it because the news media wants to hurt Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has pulled away the veneer and revealed them for what they really are. They lie to the American people, and as such, they are the enemy of the people. They're not telling the people the truth. And you know what's funny about that is that in covering this story, they're proving that Donald Trump is absolutely right. In hiding this story, in burying this story and not talking about it, they're proving he's correct. How about that? What else? A little something from Mike Huckabee. He wrote an article the other day I think is valuable. And plus, we'll take a look at the possibility of unifying this country and who would best do it. And I don't know that that's even possible because of all of the disinformation and all of the bad education and everything that's gone on in this current generation and the one before. But we'll see. And who knows what else will pop up during the course of recording the podcast. We'll see. Okay? All right. First up, let me share something with you that that has been popping up on social media lately. And this is Donald Trump in an interview. And I want you to listen to it, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it.
I attack those people because the news gets away with murder. The news media, they get away with murder. It's tough in terms of libel laws because the media is so protected, and it's ridiculous that they're so protected, but they can write virtually anything. The difference is, with me, at least they pay some price. And I think more people should have that attitude, and I think you'd find a lot more accurate reporting, including yours.
What was inaccurate so far?
I thought your demeanor was inaccurate. I thought that questions that you were posing to people in my organization were inaccurate and false and unfair.
Well, questions by definition can't be inaccurate. The questions.
Well, I think the questions themselves were put in such a way that made them statements, and they became statements as opposed to questions, and I think that's not good reporting.
Such as?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't think your viewers would be very interested in it, nor do I want to embarrass you.
I don't think I would be, but let's talk about what we talked about yesterday. Those in the financial community I'm talking about, and we talked about this on the phone, who have said, and this is them saying it, not me.
This is them? What do you mean by them? This is one or two people, and what about the positive people?
Five or six, but the ones who said negative things, and...
Here we are.
Well, we've got to talk about that.
Back to the negative.
Back to the negative.
Back to the
negative.
You know what? Do this interview with somebody else.
We talked about this yesterday on the phone. This is exactly what we talked about.
Do the interview with somebody else, really. Yeah, you don't need this. Do it with somebody else. And have a good time.
Wow.
Because frankly, you're a very negative guy, and I think it's very unfair reporting. Good luck.
I disagree with you. Sorry to feel that way.
And that is the guy who is the president of the United States now. But that was from 30 years ago, from 1990. 1990, he's being interviewed by a news reporter. And the questions are unfair. The questions are biased. The questions are slanted. And he's had enough. And this is a guy who 30 years ago was saying exactly what he's saying today. He points out that the news media will find a negative slant and they'll pursue that negative slant because it's titillating, it's sensational, and it makes people want to read articles or tune in to see what's happening. It's sensationalism. It's what I've been talking about for a long time. The news media is not dedicated to providing you with the truth. They're provided with talent. They're preoccupied with stories. They want to tell you a story. And the more sensational that story is, the more likely people will watch them, listen to them, read them. And the more people who do that, the more they can charge for advertising. So they're looking for viewer, listener, and reader numbers. And so they go after the sensational. And so 30 years ago, in 1990, Donald Trump walked off of an interview because the interviewer was focused on the negative. This is a man who had done so much around New York City, had developed so much property, had brought so much money to New York City, had gone into places and revamped things and built new things and had done things that nobody else had the vision to do. And the local publications in New York wrote glowing articles about the work he did, the things he did, his approach to business, how he handled things. This guy was the darling child in New York City. They loved him until he crossed them. And then he ran for president. And now they're all out to destroy him. Because, as you heard from 30 years ago, he sees the news media for what it is. He always has. And let me share this little nugget of information with you. Anyone who has worked in any capacity or has been in a position to be noticed by the news media and has been interviewed by the news media will tell you that when they finally read the article in the newspaper or see the interview on television or hear their remarks on a radio news broadcast, it doesn't resemble what they actually said. And this I know because it has happened to me. Because I have a couple of times been interviewed because of, you know, radio-related things. And usually what I've said doesn't resemble what was written. And that includes in Christian publications. So if you think that the news is going to be fair to you, you're going in with a wrong assumption, because you can frame things so that they're very clear, they're very obvious, and the reporter is going to take what you say and frame it the way they want it to be. And unless you today are a leftist, you will not be treated fairly by the news media. You just won't. And this is something that Donald Trump knows, which is why he calls the progressive press the enemy of the people. And he's been very clear. He hasn't said that all of the news media is. He has just said, when you lie to the people, when you mislead them, when you misquote people, when you misrepresent the truth, you're the enemy of the people. And he's right. And it happens every day. If you don't believe so, just tune over to MSNBC or CNN. And you will see example after example after example of misrepresentation and outright lies. Consultants, commentators who come on the air and just lie. And they're paid by the news networks, and they keep pulling them back in for their comments. And they just keep lying. And even after their lies are exposed, they keep lying. Most recently, the guy who has been identified as Anonymous, the one who wrote the tell-all book, it turns out he really wasn't what he claimed he was. He's been lying to CNN. He's been on the air lying about what he's talking about. And CNN hasn't cut him loose. So keep all of that in mind, that there is a valid reason for calling the progressive press the enemy of the people, and that Donald Trump's opinion of them honestly hasn't changed for 3 decades. 3 decades. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of people on social media and in the news media today who weren't born when that interview took place. They weren't even alive. They weren't born by then. They're in the media now reporting things, and they're misleading people. And this guy's been around longer than they've been alive, and he's seen their kind for what they are and what they do. And he's telling the truth about them. And as a result, they're not very happy with him. They see the world from a certain perspective, from a certain point of view. As Obi-Wan Kenobi would say, from a certain point of view. They see life through a certain kind of lens. And if you disagree with them, they get uncomfortable and they don't like you. And rather than having some integrity and doing a bit of soul searching and truth searching and engaging in some honesty, they go on the offensive and seek to destroy the people who expose them for what they are. That's something it's a trait they share with leftist politicians as well. Leftist politicians seek to destroy rather than seeking honesty. I just wanted to share that little tidbit with you as we kicked off today, because the man in the White House right now hasn't really changed. He's the same guy as far as his opinions of the news media and his views on America. He's the same guy he was about 30 years ago. He's gone through some things, been through some life. I think he's had some major changes in his life as far as his relationship with God is concerned, but he still sees the world pretty much the same way. And he calls things as he sees them. And when that rubs the left the wrong way, it just makes them angry and they spew hate. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. the day before Halloween. I hope you're having a good day. If you're joining on Facebook Live, good morning. Good to have you along for the ride. If you haven't joined it on Facebook Live, feel free. Monday through Friday mornings, usually, unless something interferes. On the Daily Perspective Podcast Facebook page, while I'm recording the daily podcast, I just go live with it. Now, I've done the coin toss on that a bunch of times. Because sometimes I'm, do I want to bother with that or not? I just can't get out of the habit. So it's there. Go, if you happen to be around at 8 o'clock Central Time, go on over there and jump in. And you'll hear everything, breaks and all. And sometimes I throw fun stuff in the breaks that you don't get during the rest of the show. So just as an FYI, it is, as I said, it's the day before Halloween. And I think probably across America, Halloween's going to be put on the back burner in a lot of places. But as I get out and do things on a regular basis, I see churches set up for trunk or treat. And I see on the neighborhoods, the neighborhoods groups on Facebook. I see the people prepping and saying, hey, we'll be up for Halloween. So people in neighborhoods will be ready. They're doing what they can to be safe. And so there's going to be some Halloween activity, but not like it usually is. And that's just one of the things that suffered because of COVID, the coronavirus. And I hope that one day, hopefully sooner than later, we will look back with honest perspective and see the mistake this all was. Because the number of people falling victim to COVID-19, now don't get me wrong, one is too many, but one is also too many for cancer. One is also too many for tuberculosis. One is also too many for diabetes, for any number of other things that people die from every year, that many more people die from every year than COVID. One is too many, but still, the numbers of people who are falling victim to COVID-19 are overshadowed by other diseases, other maladies, and we never pay attention to those. A few weeks back, I talked about the stats on tuberculosis. And I walked all the way through through everything and then revealed what it was. And it's horrific. And it's still there. It's still going on. Something you don't even think about. And it affects more people than COVID does. And we don't even bat an eye. And I think we'll look back, hopefully, with honest eyes in the future, hopefully in the near future, and realize that what's happened here is that the media has latched on to a sensational story, and that that politicians who know better and should know better latched on because they could play the hero. And we're looking for a way to be the heroes for their constituents and for the United States of America, and latched on to something that wasn't really as deadly or as serious as they said it was. You may be thinking, oh, Mark, it's serious. People are dying. Please go back and listen to what I've already said. One is too many. It shouldn't be happening. It's a terrible thing, but it is happening. But there are other things which are affecting us much more greatly. And you don't see anybody going crazy and locking things down about those things. I posted earlier on Facebook an image that I think says a lot about the story, about this entire situation. And that image was of the back window of a minivan. And somebody had gone to the trouble of lettering the back window of this minivan. And I'm trying to pull it up here. Here it is. And it says, no one should be allowed to drive again until there are no fatal accidents for 14 consecutive days. Then we can slowly begin to phase in certain classes of people who begin driving again, but at only half the posted speed limit. #safety. And I think that really says everything about what's going on today. because people die every day. Lots of people die every day in traffic accidents. Lots of people. Go look up the stats. Lots of people die of other things too. And the news media and the politicians haven't gone crazy about those things. Speaking of the news media, we've been talking about Tucker Carlson and his story, and he broke the news about his missing documents the other day, and we talked about that. And last night, he offered up some clarification about what happened and revealed who, yesterday it was revealed who the company was. It was UPS, and the company that lost the documents, and he talked about some other things, and I think I'll just let him explain what happened with the documents and how they were recovered, because he does a good job on his own.
Last night, we told you about a pretty weird experience we had this week. On Monday, one of our producers in New York overnighted a package to our executive producer, Justin Wells, and to me in Los Angeles. We were there preparing for an interview with a former Biden family business partner called Tony Bobulinski. Somewhere along the way, the contents of that package disappeared. Inside it was a flash drive that contained primary documents pertaining to the Biden family. We should tell you those documents did not come from Tony Bobulinski, and of course, we made a copy of those files before we sent them because we're careful. We get a lot of documents from a lot of different sources all the time, but that's especially true in election years. And before we put them on the air, we have to determine first whether they're real, these were real, whether they're newsworthy, and whether it's legal to show them. We wanted to assess what we had, and we're still assessing it. But the point is, the package never arrived. Proprietary reporting on the Biden family, documents sent between journalists by supposedly secure overnight mail, disappeared. And they vanished on the same day we were conducting a heavily publicized interview based in part on documents from the Biden family. So as you can imagine, we wanted to know what happened. Unfortunately, we still don't know what happened. This morning, UPS issued a press release announcing they had found our flash drive and then boasting about their customer service. Quote, UPS will always focus first on our customers and will never stop working to solve issues, which is fine. UPS is a reliable company. They rarely lose anything. We agree with that. That's why we use them in the first place. And yet they lost our Biden documents. How? UPS won't tell us how. We spent a lot of the day talking to executives there. They claimed that the flash drive was found on Monday night by an hourly employee at the UPS building on 43rd Street in Manhattan. They suggested it might have been sitting on the floor there. They couldn't prove that because, remarkably, in a room where millions of high-value packages are handled, there are no security cameras. That's what they told us. UPS says the employee who found our flash drive simply dropped it on top of a supervisor's desk. Our documents sat there undiscovered for more than 24 hours until we announced on television that they were missing. That's their story. Obviously, we had some questions about it, but UPS executives did not answer our questions. Quote, there are no more details. Security is returning it. Apologies again that we were unable to deliver it next day at the service level you requested. Our exchanges went on like this for hours. And the main question we had never changed. How did our flash drive get separated from the package that we sent it in? That seemed like something worth knowing. The envelope was securely sealed. We know that. Two witnesses saw our producer seal it, and UPS does not dispute that. Was the package torn open accidentally by a machine? That seems unlikely. UPS says that almost never happens. So we're left with the obvious explanation. Someone, for some reason, opened our package and removed a flash drive containing documents that were damaging to the Biden family. We'd love to know who would do that and why. It would be helpful to see the envelope itself, but UPS says we can't see it because they threw it away. So here we are. We got our flash drive back today, and that's great. But what we'd really like are some answers. And speaking of answers, it occurs as reading this that we mentioned the documents that we get from a lot of people. And we've received an awful lot of documents recently about Hunter Biden. We haven't aired all of them. In fact, many we have not aired. The ones that are pertinent to his business career abroad, favors he did on behalf of foreign clients with the help of his father, that seems relevant. And it seems like news. And we brought it to you, and we're not ashamed of that. But there are a lot of documents about Hunter Biden's personal life that we haven't brought to you. And we're not going to, and we should tell you why. One is the obvious answer. He's not running for president. And so to the extent those documents pertain to his dad, of course. But Hunter Biden is a fallen man at this point. And I should also say that I knew Hunter Biden fairly well. We lived near each other in Washington for quite some time. I knew his wife, who was an absolutely outstanding person, a good person. I never thought Hunter Biden was a bad person. I thought he had demons, but in the time I knew him, he kept them mostly under control. At some point, he lost control of those demons, and the world knows that now. He's now humiliated and alone. It's probably too strong to say we feel sorry for Hunter Biden, but the point is, pounding on a man, jumping on, piling on, when he's already down, is something that we don't want to be involved in. So with that.
And that's Tucker Carlson on what happened with his documents. A USB thumb drive. Lost and recovered. But they still don't know how it got lost. And yes, they did make copies before they sent it. And here we go. Slipping into the second half of this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. The news media is completely ignoring the Tony Bobulinski story. He's just ignoring it completely. And I've got a couple of things here. First up from Spectator, American Spectator. And then a Twitter thread that kind of backs this up about how the news media is dealing with this entire thing. And this is by Jeffrey Lord over at the American Spectator. It's called "The Media Blackout of Tucker Carlson." And here we go. Over there in the New York Post was this headline: "Twitter is running a blackmail operation. Cooperate or no traffic for you." The story was in reference to Twitter's locking the Post account because the paper had the nerve, to run a seriously documented story on the tale of Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop and the information it had. That story can be found at the link in the article. So get the article today at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. It's in the show notes. The headline: "Smoking gun email reveals how Hunter Biden introduced Ukrainian businessman to VP dad." And the Post correctly says, "For all their talk of neutral platforms, the big shots at big tech, Twitter, Facebook, and Google, are running a protection racket. They figure they can dictate what Americans get to see and read, and what other media companies must do to reach the public via those platforms." Exactly. But in fact, the big tech protection racket is only half the quite serious problem here. The other half is of this Biden protection racket is the leftist state media, or big media, and its decision to simply ignore Tucker Carlson's seriously big scoop, an hour-long sit-down with ex-Hunter Biden associate Anthony Bobulinski. Fox News reported on the blockbuster interview in this way: "Tony Bobulinski, a former business associate of Hunter Biden, claimed in an interview Tuesday that the Biden family shrugged off concerns that Joe Biden's alleged ties to his son's business deals could put a future presidential campaign at risk. Bobulinski, in an interview with Fox News' Tucker Carlson Tonight, said he raised concerns in 2017 to the former vice president's brother, Jim Biden, about Joe Biden's alleged ties to a possible joint venture with a Chinese energy firm. Bobulinski, a retired lieutenant in the U.S. Navy, was the former CEO of Sinohawk Holdings, which he said was the partnership between the CEFC chairman Yi Jianming and two Biden family members. He told Carlson, I remember saying, how are you guys getting away with this? Aren't you concerned? He claims that Jim Biden chuckled and said, plausible deniability. He said it directly to me in a cabana at the Peninsula Hotel. In the interview, he outlines how an alleged meeting between Joe Biden took place on May 2, 2017. Fox News first reported text messages that indicated such a meeting. Bobulinski said it was the Bidens, not him, who had pushed the meeting. Now that is a story. A seriously major story of scandal. Tucker Carlson is a journalist, which is exactly why it is not a surprise that he landed the seriously news-making scoop with one-time Hunter Biden business associate Tony Bobulinski. What should be a surprise, but decidedly isn't, was the reaction of the leftist state media to Tucker's blockbuster story. Silence. A complete blackout. The silence was written up over at Newsbusters by Kyle Drennan. The headline said, "Censored. The Nets maintain Bobulinski blackout despite bombshell interview." Drennan wrote, Even after Hunter Biden business associate Tony Bobulinski sat down for an hour-long Fox News interview Tuesday night in which he provided credible evidence corroborating his claims about Joe Biden's involvement in his son's corrupt foreign business dealings, on Wednesday, the NBC, ABC, and CBS morning shows couldn't be bothered to cover the bombshell bad news for the Democratic nominee. A Media Research Center study released on Tuesday found that the big three broadcast networks have only offered a pathetic 21 minutes to the growing Biden scandal since the story broke on the front page of the New York Post on October 14th. That's 21 minutes out of 113 hours worth of morning and evening shows over the past week. And most of that paltry coverage was devoted to attempts to falsely claim the story was Russian disinformation. The leftist media are so deep in the tank for the Democrat Party that so-called journalists are spending the final days leading up to the presidential election trying to silence any news that could be damaging to the Biden campaign. They feel they must prevent another 2016 result at all costs. Over at the National Review, the headline on an editorial said this: "The media's shameful Hunter Biden abdication." National Review's editors said this: "In an interview with National Public Radio's public editor today, Terrence Samuel, managing editor for News, explained why readers haven't seen any stories about the New York Post's Hunter Biden email scoop. Quote, "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories, and we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions. And quite frankly, that's where we ended up. This was a politically driven event, and we decided to treat it that way." Samuel, sadly, speaks for much of the media, which has ignored or dismissed the emails out of hand. In her 60 Minutes interview with the president, released preemptively by the White House, Leslie Stahl vigorously denies that Joe Biden is in the midst of a scandal. When the New York Post story broke, the New York Times immediately followed up with a piece on the Post's reporting. On Wednesday, the day after he broke, whoa, well, that was weird. I just lost everything, I apologize for that. My computer just rebooted on me. But let's just sum this up here. It's easy to sum it up as everything reboots for me, and I'll bring it back up, and hopefully we'll be able to complete it. But the news media is working harder to ignore this story than they would work to report this story. And one of the indicators was the numbers of mentions and stories about things in various publications. And I have that. I'm going to bring that to you in a moment. But that's interesting. Why are you? And it just, did you hear the pop that the computer just dumped again and came back up? Ah, bless its heart. I've been having trouble with this little laptop for a while. It's a 12-year-old. It's, what is it, 12 years old now? Yeah, I think it's 12 years old. It's an old MacBook Pro, and it's just, I think it's on its last legs. That's just really weird that it did that in the middle of everything. It's never done that to me before here. But news outlet after news outlet after news outlet has ignored this story. And as I said, they're working harder to ignore it than they would had they actually done anything with it to begin with. They're working harder to ignore it than they would be reporting on it. And the only reason that can be happening is because they are in the tank with the Democrat Party and Joe Biden. A side reason is what I've stated previously, and that is that since the beginning, Donald Trump has identified the news media for what it is when it lies to the people, and that is the enemy of the people. When the news media chooses not to tell the truth, the news media fails the people. When it misleads the people, it is doing damage to the nation. And as such, it becomes the enemy of the people. And that's what we're watching happen right now in our country. We're watching this... We're watching this group of people take it upon themselves to not tell you what's really going on and to sometimes flat out deny what is really going on, as Leslie Stahl did when the president stated the fact that Biden is in the midst of a scandal. And she said, no, he's not. No, he isn't. She just flatly denied it. And sometimes that is because these people actively do believe that their favored people in politics aren't involved in scandals, but they are crystal clean, pure, pure as the driven snow, that they're the victims of disinformation, misinformation, smear campaigns by their political enemies. But the truth of the matter is, that's the flip side of the coin. The people that they oppose are the ones who are the victims of smear campaigns by people in the media and their political opponents. And so, what's really happening is that Joe Biden and his son and his associates, his business associates, are indeed, as they say in deep kimchi, they are in trouble, and the news media is ignoring it. We're seeing stories right now that the FBI is actually conducting an ongoing investigation into some sort of a money laundering scheme, which involves Hunter Biden. A money laundering scheme. That makes perfect sense with the billions, the millions upon millions of dollars which have come through the hands of his holding company, his company, into the United States of America. That they may be making lots of money, moving money for foreign governments. That all remains to be seen. We will see. As they say, we'll see. But right now, here we go. And there it goes. It just dumped on me again. I really wish I knew what was going on, but I don't. Sadly. And you can hear the laptop rebooting and rebooting and rebooting. And man, that's sad. Anyway, we're in a lot of trouble as a country. We're in a lot of trouble as a nation. We have a news media which is not embracing the truth. We have a news media that is embracing a political preference. And as a result, they're not telling you the truth. They're not even discussing the truth. They're pretending that if they ignore a story, it will disappear. Because we're so close to an election that if their candidate wins, that will be true. It will all go away. And the perspective in the media will be, you see, this was all made up anyway. You can't trust those guys. It's a sad day. All right, we're diving into the break. We're going to see if I can get this fixed. Hopefully I can get things working again. Before the Daily Perspective continues, if it does. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. The final segment for Friday, the 30th day of October in 2020. And I'm kind of opening things back up again here. And the laptop is just gone. I have no way to fix it right now. So, you know, we'll do what we can do. All right. Let's see here. We were talking about the media blackout of Tucker Carlson and what's happening there. And I got a bunch of instances here. Illustrations. Hang on a second. Okay, that's what I was talking about there. Okay, that's where we were. Let me scoot around here. And that's not what I thought it was. Where are you? Let's see if I can find it. The, this is crazy. See, this is you're actually listening on the podcast. You're hearing this kind of real time as I'm solving the problems, and we're working on it. We're doing what we, oh, look at that. Bello Knock, my buddy Bello Knock. He was on America's Got Talent. He's setting up for a big thing at his place, the Funny Farm. He's actually got a humongous inflatable of himself. I did not know he did. He had that. He's got a lot of stuff. Let's see. Let's go over here and see if I can pull it up here. There was a there is a list of examples, things that have happened in the media. And let's go over here and find. Well, nuts. It's not going to let me. This is crazy. All right. Photos. Okay, that's good. The I'll have it here in just a second. Just give me a sec here. I just got to scroll down my my feed to pull it up. Something I thought I had in my show notes, but I didn't. It was below that. It was below that. Here we are. Over on Twitter, a guy posted an entire thing, a guy named Tim Murtaugh. He posted a lot of stuff, the numbers of stories about certain things. And it's very revealing. For example, in the New York Times, the stories mentioning the Steele dossier, 102. Michael Avenatti got 197 mentions in the New York Times. Tony Bobulinski, 3. The Washington Post, Steele dossier, 405. Michael Avenatti, 552. Tony Bobulinski, 10. CBS News, the Steele dossier, 23. Michael Avenatti, 21. Tony Bobulinski, 1. ABC News, stories mentioning the Steele dossier, 618. Stories mentioning Michael Avenatti, 701. Stories mentioning Tony Bobulinski, 7. Over at NBC News, which is now publishing this bizarre thing about some disinformation document that's been all over the conservative internet, the right-wing internet, which I've never seen. And trust me, I scan the web all the time. Over at NBC, 654 mentions of the Steele dossier, 1,480 of Michael Avenatti. Tony Bobulinski, 2. Over at MSNBC, 721 mentions of the Steele dossier. Michael Avenatti got 884. Tony Bobulinski, 1. And at CNN, the most trusted name in news, stories mentioning the Steele dossier, 158. Stories mentioning Michael Avenatti, 429. And stories on CNN, the most trusted name in news, mentioning Tony Bobulinski, 0. None. Absolutely none. And so we see this expose, this breakdown of what's actually happening in the news. The news is actively suppressing the story. They're ignoring the story. They gave now convict Michael Avenatti a lot of time on their networks. But they're ignoring what's happening with the Tony Bobulinski story and Hunter Biden. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because they are protecting, defending, and promoting the Democrat candidate, Joseph Robinette Biden. And also because they're seeking to torpedo Donald Trump, who's telling the world the truth about the news media. The truth. And that, my friends, is what's really happening. They're defending themselves, and you are suffering as a result of it. It's a very sad thing. A very, very sad thing. And it's all, well, for one thing, it's defending Donald Trump, or defending Joe Biden, and condemning Donald Trump. And they're protecting themselves as well. It's a bizarre situation. But that is the world we live in today. These people want you to believe that Hunter Biden is as pure as the driven snow, that Joe Biden is not a corrupt politician who's been a dwelling in the swamp for nearly 50 years, and that he can unite America. That is possibly the most bizarre claim, that Joe Biden can unite the United States of America. And I don't understand how they believe this can happen. Over at Newsbusters, Tim Graham writes a story. We won't get to all of it. There's not enough time. But he says, of all the preposterous lines the Democrat media complex could utter in the waning days of this election, the most preposterous is that a Biden victory could unify the country. Think of Biden's convention speech. Quote, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I will be an ally of the light, not of the darkness, he said. United we can and will overcome this season of darkness in America. Liberals are the light. Trump and his voters are the darkness. Does that sound like a generous way to unite us? Everyone knows Trump thrives on dividing people. Politics is a game of division. Democrats thrive on accusing all Republicans, including those moderate and polite Bushes, of racism. Trump made the rhetoric harsher on immigration and on police controversies, but the Democrats were dividers on race and class long before he came on the political scene. The media suppress any image of Biden being a divider. In 2012, they rushed to de-emphasize that he told black voters that the Republicans want y'all in chains. In this campaign, Biden suggested a black person who couldn't decide whether or not to vote for him ain't black. But it's not just Biden. The peddlers of systemic racism accusations suggest white Americans can never escape the charge of racism without a massive restructuring of America. Every white American with a conscience should organize seminars to recognize their own guilt for 400 years of oppression and make reparations, even if you're 22 years old. The Democrats have pushed to defund the police and resisted the call to condemn the anarchy of looters and rioters. You can never rebut them with the fact that the leading violent killers of blacks are other blacks, not the police. But only one side is apparently divisive or leading a culture war. The Democrats and their journalistic enablers have the bad intellectual habit of assuming that democracy is only truly functioning correctly when Democrats hold all the levers of power, and the national unity is best restored when they are dominating Washington. But did we have unity in 2009 with President Obama and a Democratic Congress? No. And I'll state it as an aside here. In fact, in 2009 is when this disunity dialed up. I don't know if you remember. I've talked about it several times. I remember the discomfort, the anger, the tension. I remember it getting more palpable, more real. I remember that becoming something. It just intensified. I've told the story about being born and raised in the South and how here in the South, racism was kind of something we've talked about being in the past. People of all races are neighbors, they're friends, they're coworkers, they go to the same churches. The kids' birthday parties are celebrated together. We all go to the same community pools. Racism is a thing of the past, or it was until 2009. And then all of a sudden, people started getting touchy about things. Because Barack Obama was talking about inequality and fanning the flames of envy and jealousy and blaming certain people for the life choices of other people. It was Barack Obama and the Democrats who fanned the flames of division and who use it as a political tool. And then the Democrats today have the nerve to say it's Donald Trump dividing the nation? I think more likely he's actually just turning the light on so you can see what's really happening. And as a result, people are seeing who and what the Democrats really are. Hey, have a great Halloween. Enjoy your weekend. Unplug. And we'll see you back here Monday for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. God bless. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
We'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?